This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
A play that's very common to an offense in a game of football is the draw play. But what does the draw play mean and where did it come from? Timothy P. Brown of Football Archaeology joins us to tell us the origins of the draw play. Tim's got some great history on the subject, and he's coming up in just a moment to tell us all about it.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to another Tuesday where we get to visit with our friend Timothy Brown of footballarchaeology.com. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Hey, Darren. Looking forward to chatting, and hopefully this discussion doesn't get too drawn out. If you know what I mean.
Oh, you are just the master of the segue. And folks, these are not pre-rehearsed, so these are just as much a surprise to me as they are to you when they come out. But
hey, you got it. Dad jokes are what makes the world go around.
Yeah, we are both dads and grandfathers, and we have the jokes coming at us. So pardon our humor, but Tim is segueing into a title to his tidbit he's going to talk about tonight, which he had titled The Origins of the Draw Play, which a very famous play and one that's still common today in football. So, Tim, what do you got to tell us about the origins of the draw play?
Yeah, so, well, I think, you know, part of what's fun about the draw play, like a lot of things in football, is kind of, you know, people always talk about, you know, the game, you know, football repeats itself, that, you know, that there's this whole thing about, you know, well, we've seen and done that before. And, you know, in a lot of cases that has been the case, but it always kind of comes back to, well, what do you mean? You know, so what is it about like today's draw play that you can see and spot in earlier versions of that play? And so that's kind of what this tidbit was about. And so, you know, like a lot of things, I recently did a tidbit on homecoming. And the first homecoming. So in order to talk about that, you got to define, okay, well, what's a homecoming? What are the elements of a homecoming? Mm-hmm. And so with the draw play, it's like, well, what's a draw play? And, you know, for me, it comes down to that a draw play is a play in which it is it's a fake pass with a run that is, you know, a predetermined run. So it's not, you know, back in the day, they used to, out of the, you know, single wing, double wing, and probably, you know, out of the Notre Dame, you know, and Minnesota boxes and all those kinds of things, you know, they'd send a back out wide on a run pass option, not the RPO we know today, but a run pass option where it was like, okay, you either run the ball, but if the guy's open, throw it to him. So that's an option. That was still an option play. Whereas, you know, a draw, it's predetermined. You call it in the huddle. You're going to fake a pass and then run it, you know, and it's an attempt to kind of take advantage of the pass rushers coming at you.
And what you're saying is you're basically having your lineman pass block instead of traditional run block where they're trying to go beyond the line of scrimmage. They're trying to stay on their side of the line of scrimmage and just protect, but open a hole for the runner.
Yeah. I mean, back in the day, there wasn't that restriction on the linemen. You know, they could go downfield. Right. Okay. So, I mean, so some of that stuff gets a little bit mixed up. And even, you know, as far as I can tell, a lot of times there wasn't a heck of a lot of difference between pass blocking and run blocking back in the day. But, you know, now in today's world, yes, 100%. Right. But that's, you know, that's our, you know, 21st century mind defining, you know, what a draw play is. But back then, so the first, you know, I wrote this about, you know, Fritz Kreisler when he was coaching at Michigan, and he had drawn up a play for, you know, a preseason guide that Grantland Rice was doing. And he basically had his single wing tailback get the deep snap. And then he rolled out, as it's drawn up anyways, he rolled out left, kind of stood there for a second. And he had like, the whole backside of the line and the backs were out there starting to block for him, but a couple of them leaked out into the, downfield. And then, I mean, everything appeared that he was going to pass it, and then boom, he takes off, right? So now that, in my definition, would be a draw play, right? I mean, it's not what we think of today as a draw play, because this is 1939, and the modern tee with a quarterback under center and then dropping, kind of straight back, backpedaling or, turning and kind of not karaoke, but pedaling back. That first showed up in 1940, a year later. So anyways, it's one of those things where there's a lot of football references that say that the draw play that we now think of, T quarterback, backing out and then giving it to a fullback or a halfback. A lot of people say that that was, one of the Chicago Bears plays, but it's not in the 1946 Chicago Bears playbook that, Halas and Shaughnessy and those guys wrote. So then I'm kind of like, okay, well, I don't believe it then, right? Because they've got 80 plays in there. So the first place that I see the term draw play in newspapers anyways came in the 1950 Rose, or not Rose Bowl, but Cotton Bowl. And so that was a game with two game or two teams you wouldn't expect to be in the Cotton Bowl today necessarily, but TCU, which, okay, you can believe TCU being in the Cotton Bowl, and then Carnegie Tech. So not a team that today is going to show up in the Cotton. But TCU had three top 10 NFL, first round, picks the next year. One of them was a All-American quarterback, Davey O'Brien, who was a stud. I'm sorry, I'm messing that up. They had Tobin Roode, and Rice beat UNC. I'm mixing up which story I'm talking about. So Tobin Roode was a quarterback, and he, operating out of the drop back tee. And then, the other thing. So, and it was a, low scoring game, and he ends up, basically they won the game as a result of running a draw play, and a draw play the way that we think of it today. So, but still at the time, they didn't call it a draw play, or at least if they called it a draw play on the field or in practice, that didn't get communicated out to the wider world. Because the first time I find the term draw play in the newspapers, came a few years later. And it was a guy by the name was Dick Cullum, who was a Minneapolis sports writer. And he must have been a guy who was, well, I know for sure he was, because I've read enough of his stuff. He was one of these sports writers who kind of got into the play and the terminology. He's more of a technical sort of guy, so if you think now about the color analysts that are on TV or radio, he was like maybe a little bit more of a football expert who could provide that kind of, input into the game. And because he's, so draw play, he that shows up in his writing, not too long, after the Cotton Bowl. And then he's also, ironically, the first guy to use the term drop back quarterback, which is a, T formation play or T formation term, but that didn't show up until 1964. So it was yet, so the T was there in 1940, the modern T, and it's 24 years later before it shows up in print. And then he also, 2 years later, he's the first guy to use the term skill positions. So, it's just one of those things. It's kind of cool that, I started noticing, like, when I wrote a book called Hut Hut Hike about the origins of football terminology. And so he kept showing up, and it's like, okay, well, this guy, I mean, he obviously is one of those guys who kind of liked that side of the game and wanted to educate his audience, his readers on what was happening and what was different about the game today than it had been the previous year.
Okay, well, I'm glad you mentioned Hutt Hutt Hike, because I was going to go right into that a little bit. Now, with your Hutt Hutt Hike storytelling and your research on there, what does the draw play? Where does the draw come from? Is it from like drawing the defenders in to fool them?
Sometimes it's hard to tell. That's my assumption.
Okay.
It's that you're drawing them into your trap.
Okay.
Right. And that's even another like trap. That comes from originally it was called a mouse trap. That
The
you
trap
were
play you're
tricking
talking.
somebody and hitting them from the side, but it was called a mouse trap, not a trap, and then they just shortened it because it took too long to say mouse trap.
Well, thank God that our football forefathers were simple people like us, and the naming, you can like drop back quarterback. Okay, we can figure out where that came from. But some of these other things like the trap play and the draw play, those we need more explanation. So thank you for that. So.
So sometimes it's just fun. Sometimes, like drop back quarterback is one of those where you'd think, well, what did they call it in those 24 years? Like, if you were teaching somebody, here's what I want you to do. I want you to backpedal. And a lot of times they were just, straight backpedaling back then. So how did coaches describe it? I don't have, I've only got a handful of playbooks, from the old days. Mostly I'm, dealing with newspaper articles to try to figure it out.
Now think about that the first time a player's told to do that. Football is a game of moving forward. When you're on offense, you're trying to go forward. And now you have a coach telling you to retreat a little bit, to give up ground, to make something happen. So that had to be kind of a wide eyes wide open type of situation.
Well, and you mentioned like the pass blocking. So, the whole, cup blocking, that was, you had to teach somebody to give ground, and before that, what they used to do a lot of times is, the center and tackles would meet meet their guys, straight up, and the guards would if they were covered. But if they weren't covered, then they'd loop back and pick up the ends, coming off the edges. And yeah, you can see the play drawings from back then, and I mean it's very clear what they're doing, but you just don't see that anymore. That's just not. The cup was a really interesting innovation, because it was basically it was zone blocking, only you're doing it passively. So it was really a kind of a revolutionary way to think about blocking.
Until the defensive coordinators countered with stunts and all kinds of craziness, what they
Well,
were doing.
but actually, it was because of the stunts that they started doing it, because they were stunting and like what we now call blitzing, they called red dogging back then. They'd send somebody, and for so long it was just, seven guys on the line of scrimmage and they just come at you. So you had the man who was over you. But then once they started dropping backers, then they start doing twists and they start, there's all kinds of things that happen. But really, pass blocking is zone blocking, but you're doing it passively. Whereas, zone blocking on the run, you're picking up an air. It's area blocking. You're, and then there's, it's more to it than that. But nevertheless, I mean, so it's really, I don't know. It's just one of those things that it just is kind of a revolutionary way of thinking about it. And so sometimes it's like it happens right away. Somebody devises a new scheme, and other times football just took baby steps to get there, but it's fun, to me that's the fun thing is the whole evolution of the game and how it got from here to there.
And like you said at the very beginning, it's a sort of a cyclical type thing. So you've seen, in the last 10 years, elements of the single wing coming back with what you're calling the what are the pros calling it now? The wildcat offenses that are coming out, which is
And there's
really
people
single
that,
wing concepts to it.
I've seen a number of plays in the USFL games of, they're running the modern T, straight T in the backfield,
Ha
so It's just a changeup. It's a way to, to
And
kind of challenge the,
you sit there and think about some of these younger defensive coordinators and players, they've never seen some of these things like the single wing and everything. So it's a whole new offense to them, and they got to figure out how to defend it. So I'm sure there's coaches going back. There's some old books and film and trying to figure out, hey, how'd they do this in the 1940s?
And part of it is just, so the game has gotten to be so much of a speed game, spread them out game, that, you want to come at me with, 11 men in the box, then that changes, the kind of people I need on my defense, right? So, I mean, it's just total,
Cat and mouse.
gamesmanship, and it's a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Tim, since we talked about it a couple of times, what do we give the opportunity to how people can get their hands on a copy of Hutt Hutt Hike? Because it's a really an interesting book.
Thank you. So, it's out on Amazon. My three books are on Amazon. Soon my fourth one will be on Amazon. But so just, look for me, look up my name, or look up Hutt Hutt Hike, or How Football Became Football. And if you can find my name, then all three of them are going to be available. And worst case, go to footballarchaeology.com, and I've got, the books listed in different places on the site.
Okay, excellent. Well, Tim, we really appreciate you bringing back this concept of the draw play, explaining it to us a little bit, telling us some of the history and the origins of it. And we'd love to talk to you again next week about another early football concept.
Very good. I look forward to it. Thanks.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, aka the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network, and we're able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website, seriously, all you got to do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you got to do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.